with Mannix and Mannix. We're back. It's 96.3 WJJB. The Big Jab, Jeff and Taylor on the microphones, and it's time for us to talk a little MLS and New England Revolution. The Revs back in action again on the road for the Maple Syrup Derby against CF Montreal this weekend. Here to tell us about that and all of your New England Revolution headlines is their broadcast voice, Brad Feldman. Brad, welcome back, man. How you doing?
Hey, Jeff. How are you? Good to be with you guys. I'm great.
Doing well. Happy to be with you once again here. And certainly we'll get into that win over Atlanta United last Saturday, because that was certainly fun. But want to talk about the breaking news during that match, though, when the signing of an English Premier League player, Jack Harrison, was made. He, of course, is joining from Leeds United, does have some experience in MLS about a decade ago, but tell us about the newest Revolution player here, Jack Harrison.
Yeah, I think it was a smart signing. I think the unveiling was intelligent by the club. Big crowd on hand in Foxborough, over 34,000 announced, and just before kickoff, the press release and the web announcement went out, and he was introduced to the crowd at midfield. So it was engineered, executed as a splash signing, and it sort of contributed to the crescendo building to the kickoff. And, you know, it's not a scientific fact, but In past years, other than a couple of playoff games, when the Reds have had big crowds on a nice night, the record at home for some reason hasn't been very good. So the fact that they then went out and had a really good performance was a really nice thing. I'll talk more about the game, like you say, but since we're on the subject of Jack Harrison, I think it's a smart addition by the Reds, first signing. Player coming in under new general manager Chris Tierney of note. And he does have MLS ties, as you say. He played two seasons for NYCFC and was a terrific player for them back then. And you could see the potential and the promise that led him to get brought over by Man City. Never played for Man City, but as you say, a long time with Leeds, also fell with Everton, briefly Middlesbrough. So he played a little bit in the Championship, a lot in the Premier League. He actually was at Fiorentina on loan before coming to MLS in Serie A in Italy. So he's been in the big leagues, if you will. Is English from the northwest of England, but came over and played for the Berkshire School in Sheffield, Mass. For a few years. Played some club soccer in Western Mass as well. So, you know, when we interviewed him on the radio just before halftime on Friday, Saturday, he, talked about how that was his sort of portal to the U.S. And I think from a functional standpoint, you know, he's the kind of player that is going to be really useful to the team and also whom fans are going to take a liking to. He not only has a very positive sort of demeanor, he's very switched on guy that the fans are going to, I believe, like. He has that way of playing where he's honest on both sides of the ball. Now, his main skill set, the thing he's known for, is taking on defenders on the dribble and torturing them. He can play on either wing, still has wheels, not a track athlete, but he's quick with the ball. But then when the Revolution are out of possession, he's a willing presser and runner, and, you know, he'll track back. I think that he provides another option. You know, you saw Carlos Heel wheeling and dealing on Saturday night in the MLS All-Star game with Luca Langoni coming back from injury, Peyton Miller providing tremendous pace in the wide areas. This is another guy that Carlos Heel can spray it to, that anybody can spray it to. You know, you've got Yusuf in range now, showing the ability to range and find guys, you know, down the flanks in the channel. He's going to be fun to watch because he does knock defenders backpedaling over when he's with his cutback moves and so forth. But, you know, I think the final thing is that if he can put in good service for, you know, the center forward, you know, Dort Turgeon appears to be, you know, sort of coming out of his deep freeze in front of goal. And people are hoping that Leo Campana is back. So I think in a lot of ways, and he provides leadership and experience and vocal leadership, even though Carlos Gil is an able and respected captain, he's still more of a lead by example kind of guy. And Jack Harrison, you know, by reputation, even when I went to the team function after the game just briefly, you could see that he was a galvanizing guy. The people gathered around him, that he talks. He's not a big puff out your chest sort of macho type of guy. He's just a very relatable guy who's not afraid to say something. And if that carries over the field, the locker room, the training ground, I think Jack Harrison is going to tick a lot of boxes in a positive way for the Reds. So he hasn't kicked a ball for New England yet, but what's not to like is really my answer.
Yeah, I'm with you, Brad. I'm excited for it. I was very excited watching it. I know this just happened recently, too, so maybe just quick thoughts on it, though. Brian Ceballos, the move there. Is that a little bit, do you see that as empowering Ethan Koehler a little bit? I know Jeff and I discussed it a little bit off air, but just interested on your thoughts on that move and maybe what that means for the center back position moving forward here for the Revs.
Yeah, I don't think it's empowering. I think the starting job was hit. Yeah. Like, I think that Ceballos wasn't on the bench because he was injured. Even, you know, he did have a brief spell injured, but Koehler, that was Kohler's job. Yeah. And he's doing it in a different way. Now you're right to bring it up because that is, you know, an outgoing guy who the Revs are likely going to see on the other side of the ball, on Saturday night in Montreal, you know, so coincidentally their next game. You know, they actually had, you know, no, it's their next game, right? So yeah, that happened in between the Wednesday game last week and the Saturday game. Listen, everybody's going to miss him, and he would have been a great depth piece. He was the defender of the year for the Revs. But the salaries in terms of the cap hit weren't comparable. So you're getting, you know, over the body of work that Koehler put in, what looked like in with a different skill set and different athletic profile, equal or better performance for significantly less money. And you could get inflow of general allocation money of, you know, depending on how it ends up landing, I think $750,000 or more, which, you know, you can use to add other pieces. It was, as they say, a no-brainer, I think, for Chris Tierney. Now, people really liked Ceballos in terms of, you know, he was a solid citizen. Had a terrific year last year and a down year for the Revs. But I think what's interesting to me, and it just shows you how, you know, it's still a very subjective game. A lot of people in the press room were saying, well, why, you know, you might not have gotten this quite the same cap relief with Fofana, but isn't Ceballos better if you had to choose one of the two? And for me, I was like, actually, no. You know, Mamadou Fofana quietly, I think, is a more reliable piece. Now, I have not spent a day running the rule over him, not just from video, but with the analytics. I'm sure the Revs have. They have, you know, whole video scouting, whole video analytics department that doesn't just scout prospective players, doesn't scout opponents, scouts the Revs themselves. And, you know, I watch every game, and I go to training occasionally. And if I had to choose just based on performance, it would have been, and I don't think it was this easy because I think salary, also which side, you know, like Ceballos plays in the right side of the central defense. So does Koehler. So I think that, you know, that's who his competitor was for the starting spot. But, you know, Fofana, not as twitchy athletic. He is still very twitchy and athletic, but just not quite the same level as Ceballos. Ceballos also, because of that, takes more risk and counts on his quickness and speed to make up for, you know, times when he jumps the gap and it fails. Whereas Fofana is a little more judicious in his timing. He makes a lot of very athletic clearances and so forth, but he's not he doesn't look like an NFL cornerback the way Ceballos sometimes did, you know. He's reigned here. So, you know, would it be nice to have all three? Yeah, but Ceballos, because of Kohler's emergence and his calmness and ability to read the game, he's all, you know, Michael Parkhurst is who a bunch of people have compared him to. I think that it made the choice easier for Chris Tierney. I wouldn't be surprised if they added, you know, a domestic backup central defender because Farrell's been injured a little bit this year. Tanner Beeson is a capable backup, but, you know, is not as quick and athletic as Fofana and Kohler are. But that's a position that you can add at a lower price point in MLS. It's true around the world, you know, unless somebody's, you know, elite, you know, a good system, a good development system has guys like that in the pipeline. The Revs have a bunch of guys out on loan and playing well in Revs too. So you might see a promotion internally as well.
All right. Well, you mentioned the Atlanta United victory on Saturday before over 34,000 fans at Gillette Stadium. To me, that was one of the more complete offensive performances we've seen from the Revs all season long. How did you see it?
A comprehensive victory, only spoiled by a late goal where they dropped their guard. You know, it actually kind of flattered Atlanta. Like usual, there were, you know, Matt Turner had to make a couple of really good saves. One time they got in behind, but like it was not, it was all Revs most of the night. And, you know, they got off to a good start, which is one of the things that has been a harbinger. You know, they've had several comebacks this year, to be fair, but Charlie Davies called for them to score early again. And indeed they did. You know, Matt Turner, with tremendous distribution, got the ball, you know, down the flank over like 75 yards, but, you know, ended up with Carlos Heel, and Turgeman. And, I should say, you know, they, you know, Carlos Heel had a goal and assist in that game. Turgeman then had the, I misspoke in sequential order, but that short corner routine, which is a rehearsed routine, but it was sort of the second phase of that, playing their triangles, you know, multiple guys involved. It was a breakout night for man of the match, Brooklyn Reigns, who had his first MLS goal, plus an assist. And Al-Hassan Youssef, who left early with an apparent ankle injury, but said he's okay. And sources say, like, I don't know if he's going to be fit to start against Montreal, but I don't think it's a long-term thing. And Peyton Miller was great flying around out there. So, you know, front to back, back to front, very good. And, you know, you got Langone back out there late. I think that, you know, the Revs should feel good on the other side of this break. It was a, sort of a lackluster tie against Toronto last week. We talked about it. But in their, you know, they've taken points for 10 of their last 12 games, 8-2-2. They're in third place in the league. And they've shown for the most part, you know, that in the first half against Toronto, they could have been up 2-0, 3-0. That these teams in the lower half of the Eastern Conference standings, that they're a big class above. Now they're adding Jack Harrison, who won't be playing Saturday night, but, you know, helps on the way soon. And, you know, Langone's getting back to full fitness. Marko Mitrovic is going to be spoiled for choice in some of these midfield positions. I don't know how you take Reigns and Youssef off the way they've been playing. That midfield engine has been terrific. Just the amount of territory they cover, their improved willingness to look forward and split the lines with passing and dribbling makes life a lot easier for Carlos Heel too. And, you know, Carlos is not just an artist, he's a surgeon. You know, he really reads it and has such a great touch on the ball to the point where he's one of the best playmakers. Taylor Twellman said last night that, you know, he's one of the top 10 players in MLS history. I agree, but it looks a lot better. I mean, he's got guys flying down the wings, knowing when to break in front of him, you know, from the other midfield position, and then a center forward who's finishing, you know, then the fire's raging, you know. And I don't want to oversell it. You know, they got They got to show they can do it against the top teams, but they have. They've beaten some good teams in this season, and that's, you know, in addition to taking, you know, the scalps that they're supposed to from the weaker teams. They're not a powerhouse yet, but positive signs right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to keep it on that attacking front, I mean, you mentioned Dor Turgeon, and I thought that from that Toronto game to this one, his impact, and even on that first goal, I know he doesn't get credit with the assist, but the way he gets that distribution from Turner, kicks it back around, it finds its way to Polster, who drops it to Heel for that beautiful finish. Like, if Turgeon can continue to play like this, how beneficial is that for the Revs if this lone striker can really start to carry this load, not just scoring and assisting, but also helping in delaying and creating in that fashion, Brad?
Well, I'll say two things. One is, you're right to point that out, you know, the hold-up play, the ability to keep the team playing. I think in his defense, you know, you got to be available.
Yeah.
Some of it is, you know, when you show for the ball, and you're moving off the ball, your ability to, you know, find space, also to battle physically back to goal with those big center backs, you know, up your spine. But I think Turgeon, even when during this goal drought that extended from April 18th, to this past Saturday, I think Dor Turgeon has done those things pretty well, depending on the game, in terms of being the target man, the platform for the Revolution attack. His skill set's pretty good. You know, he wasn't brought in to be a classical number nine. He's more sort of good, you know, in the box, taking on defenders. But he has that rangy, like 6'2" frame, pretty strong, will get, you know, back up against these big squarehead defenders and fight them. I thought the Revs in some of their more, some of their less engaged performances just before the World Cup break, those are ones where it wasn't Turgeon's fault that the Revs weren't finding him. I don't mean in the box for goal. I mean, like, in the buildup, like you're talking about, Taylor, the job is a lot more than just scoring. And so he gets a goal and everybody says, oh, Turgeon is back, me included, right? Because that's what you're hired to do as a striker. But I think that that's the icing on the grave. And, you know, if they're getting goal contributions from the wide players or the second, you know, layer of the attack, that's cool. And Turgeon, you know, seems to me like he's overjoyed when he scores. He knows that's job one, but he's also a facilitator. He's also, you know, a good hold-up, link-up guy. And so, you know, I think that when he was getting lost, and, you know, you look at his touches for the first half, you're like, oh, Dor Turgeon only has 14 touches, only a handful of them in the attacking penalty area. That's not good. That's on the rest of the team, not just Turgeon. And I think he's had a lot of games where he didn't score, where he was doing the little stuff very well. So I think that it all, you know, but then, you know, success begets success. Confidence definitely means something in terms of finishing, but, you know, it's a, you know, hair's breadth. It's a couple centimeters either direction, not just in terms of where the ball ends up, but how you strike it. You know this well. If you miss your kick by, you know, the smallest slice, it's a millimeter in terms of where your foot contacts the ball, that can mean a large distance at the other end of where the ball ends up. So precision matters for a lot. And I think that, you know, him getting the goal will only help.
Absolutely. And, of course, Carlos Heel had a big night last night, too, in the MLS All-Star Game, assisting Sun Hyun Min's 2 goals 3 minutes apart as the MLS All-Stars won 4-3 against Liga MX. No LAFC. You cannot have Carlos Heel. He is very much here at this point. And Heel, of course, and the rest of the Revs will be up in Montreal. CF Montreal, the opponent for the Maple Syrup Derby. Tell us what to expect.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, yeah, I think what we've seen with Carlos, you know, just real quick, is that he hasn't lost anything. He's actually playing some of his best soccer. You know, as we've seen, you know, as the great Johan Cruyff said, you know, some 50, 60 years ago now, football is a game that you play with your brain. And now he knew it very well because the guy smoked cigarettes, you know, at halftime. So it wasn't a sprint for Cruyff. But skill and reading the game, timing, balance, everything. We saw it with Messi in the World Cup. You know, some guys can improve with age, and Carlos is still mobile, still works really hard when the Revs lose the ball. But, yeah, those two assists showed some of the range of his passing with Sonny in the All-Star game. He came in second in the skills challenge the night before, and he's, you know, galvanizing. And on the Apple post-game show, they said it well. You know, even he's been through all kinds of ups and downs with the Revs, personally with his injury, you know, back in 2020, and then came back to be, you know, MVP. But then all, you know, the coaching changes and so forth, his play has been remarkably consistent. And, you know, like he creates goal scoring opportunities for himself, for everybody else. And so I think it's good to see on a national level him getting more sort of OG recognition. And obviously when you're, you know, best 11 all-star perennial selection, it means people know. But people are only starting for me to talk about him in the same category as some of these, you know, guys who come over from Europe with these big reputations. You know, he's world-class, and things have gone differently for him, you know, at Valencia or Aston Villa. It would have been a different thing for him, because he is, I had people say, why didn't he play for Spain in the World Cup? I said, well, he's 33, but it's a good question. And that's why he got so emotional. That's why he got so emotional when he accepted his MVP award, because he was a prodigy like that when he was younger. He came out of the Valencia Academy, was supposed to be, you know, that classical Spanish number 10 at the very highest level. And just timing counts for a lot, and it didn't work out that way. We're fortunate enough to have a guy of that caliber playing in front of us every week in New England. And up in Montreal, listen, they beat him 3-0 back in the beginning of April. Back then, you know, you look at the Montreal side and say, well, talent-wise, you know, healthy, the Revs should beat them off the park, and they did that at home. Can they do it on the road where they've been pretty good but not as good as at home this year? Listen, the only significant addition that Montreal has made, like they haven't gone out and gotten a Jack Harrison, is Brian Ceballos, the Revs central defender. So he could help, yeah, and the Revs know him well, but he knows the Revs well. But, you know, they beat him 5-0 up there and 3-0 up there the past 2 years. So it's not like the Revs. It is a different Revs team, different coach, everything. If they play the way they did against Atlanta, they're gonna hand Montreal their hat, hand them their maple syrup. And so, you know, predictions are tough. Montreal will be tougher at home. But you remember, you know, the Revs have used that game with Miller and Feingold when Tam. I think that you're going to see something akin to that. Brian Ceballos is only one man, and, you know, maybe a little closer on the scoreboard than what we saw in the 3-0 win in April. But I would expect that, you know, unless something fluky happens, which can happen and change the game in the sport of soccer, as we all know, I think the Revs can keep it rolling up there.
All right, Brad Feldman is the New England Revolution broadcast voice. The Revs are at CF Montreal on Saturday. Brad, thanks so much. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys.
You
talk to you soon.
You got it. Again, Brad Feldman is the New England Revolution broadcast voice. We finish off hour two, Middays with Mannix and Mannix next.